Pippa says you go to TonyBasilio.com. That's TonyBasilio.com. And you hit the site, and you find how to leave a tip, and you leave us a tip. And I'm going to check it here in a second, and that's going to determine what we do tonight. In the meantime, let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Jerry Cole quit. We were talking a moment ago, Jerry, about the – and Tony was making a point about our quarterback throwing off his back foot and back feet. Are you concerned, Jerry, about his mechanics as you watch him? Because it looks to me like he's not all in. And I don't mean all in terms of wanting to play quarterback at Tennessee. I just mean he's not all in into committing to throwing passes. Even when he has a clean pocket, he doesn't step up and throw the ball with authority at times. Now, he did tonight, and at times he looked comfortable. Sometimes, though, Jerry, he looks like he's really afraid out there. Do you get that sense, too?
I don't get the feeling he's afraid, Tony. What I see is this, and you see it typically in Butch Jones' offense. There's a lot going on. And Tony can tell you this. Mm-hmm. From a quarterback standpoint of view, I've always been around guys who, for the first 15 plays of the game, be it a running back, if you got a special running back, or you got a guy that can throw it and you want to get him in a rhythm, you have to give him rhythm throws that will allow him to get going. And to me, it seems like it's be it if it's Josh Dobbs or even the first couple games this year, some of the throws that you would just like to get the drop, get the ball out of his hand, and get a completion. You know, your first three or four passes, it seems like that's still not what a Butch Jones' offense is about. So then you progress into the later stages of the game in the second, third quarter. Now you see him, it's almost like, okay, they go, okay, that stuff's not working. Let's just drop him back and throw the football. And when he does that, he looks like a totally different thrower of the football. So I almost wonder if it's almost partly due to it's not getting him in a rhythm the first couple plays. Like I can go back and tell you plays that Tony probably ran the same 3 or 4 1, a waggle, a quick game, a rollover out to the wide side of the field. Just things that you know that you can complete, Tony B., right off the bat, just to get your QB going. I kind of have a feeling that's just not that Butch Jones' offense. They have a lot working at once early on in the game, in my opinion.
In the process of really reinvention of football, Tony, is he right that it's too complicated for this kid right now? Just in terms of they're asking him, like earlier today, Alex said, whose name I almost forgot, that's how tired I am, but Alex said earlier, you know, when they're asking you to run around, you don't get your feet set. You got to worry about this. You got to worry about that. You worry about this fake. You got to worry about that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, it's a lot on the quarterback. And I agree with Jerry. You know, let's get the quarterback in a rhythm. You know, some quick things. You know, get the ball out of his hands so he can get him a rhythm. And with our running game, it should be so simple, real simple. You know. You know, John Kelly, the way he's running the ball, a nice straight to John Kelly should open up some things. You know, you got to respect John Kelly's running ability. So that should open up our passing game. And we're not playing off of that. So we need to play off of our running game a little bit more than what we're doing right now.
Let's go back.
Case in point, on the pick six, go back and watch the tape. A ton of stuff happening. Just a basic curl route by Callaway up top, which is just, it's a five-step rhythm drop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, get the ball out your hand. Boom. Easy completion. But Tony Robinson and Tony B, they're running a draw fake on top of that, right? And then, Kelly doesn't go through with his draw fake and just get on out of the way. So then he's got a guy in his lap and also there was a guy leaking on the rush. So if you think about it, why not just drop him back a five-step drop and throw the football? He can do that. what's the need for the draw fake to be added on top of that? It's like taking things that are simple and trying to redefine it.
Six times three.
I think, yes, sir.
Six times three. What is six 18. Times 18? Okay, very good. That's Butch Jones. And that's what we're doing. That's what we've done.
We're doing math problems.
Everything's so cute. Well, that's what we're doing with our wide receivers. I want Jerry to show his focus from FEMA Quadrant 10. Got to make it more complicated, like somebody just said on the Periscope. Got to make it more complicated. Yeah. Jerry's joining us from FEMA Quadrant number 10. T-Rob is in parts unknown on the – what do they call that app we're using there, Chief, for T-Rob?
That'd be Skype.
And we're watching Periscope right now through something called Wirecast, where we've really dressed it up this year. And USC and Texas are 24 apiece in the second overtime in a game that's turned interesting. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. And our next call is in. Hello and welcome. You're on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, Tony, it's Michael calling from Hendersonville. How are you doing?
Hey, Michael in beautiful Hendersonville. Welcome in, man.
Yes, sir. Lane between the lakes. Shout out to Matt Dixon. He's doing a great job for you.
Good awesome for job. Him. The great Matt Dixon.
Great is correct. You're right, sir. Just going to point back to Tim Priest from last week. I really think the players should have just overcome some coaching this week. You know, don't you think maybe they should have had the intuition to maybe QB sneak from the 1 yard line or something like that, Tony?
I'm going to ask, because Alex asked a great question in that regard earlier, which is this. What would have happened, Jerry, in your day if Cutcliffe, your offensive coordinator, would have called something ridiculous and either you or Schuler would have gone under and just said, hell with that, I'm going to go under center. And I'm going to do my thing, and we're going to hand the ball off and get a touchdown here. What's the punishment, Jerry? What's that quarterback face if he goes off the board there?
Oh, man, you're going to take a beat down.
Even if you score a touchdown?
No. But here's the point. Your point is to run the football, make it something simple. Get in the end zone.
Right.
But last week we praised Dormady for the checkoff and throwing the touchdown. And what if he checks off, he sees something right there and gets under, you know, maybe goes right under that large right guard we have.
Yeah.
A five-star who just kind of mauls anything in sight.
Yes. That's why it makes no sense. Why wouldn't you take Trey Smith and just run right under him? That's what I was saying earlier. I'm running a sweep behind him, and I'm saying good luck to you. In fact, I'm going to call out T-Rob. I'm calling out a sweep, and I'm going to tell you where it's going. And with that kid out in front of that, you ain't stopping that play with John Kelly back here. No way in hell.
You know what, T? Back in my day, and if I get a play call from the sideline, and once I get to the line of scrimmage and I see something different, I see something that we can run, and I feel we can score on it, and I check to it. There's nothing going to be said. There's nothing going to be said. You know, all of us would say, well, why'd you go that play? I thought we could score on the play. And that's all going to be said on that play. You know, I'm going to, you know, if I feel my running back can score on this play and we block it, if we block it correctly, we score. You know, either we score or we don't score, there's nothing going to be said on that play.
Well,
there's
nothing
going to be said on the play because it's a good call.
Here's one for you that they haven't pulled out in a while, but it's worked for him in the past. How about you send Kelly in motion and you run one of those direct snaps to him? That's a pretty play. And he scores going around the outside. What's wrong with that?
Outside, yeah, you know. I mean, you know, Tony, it boils down. Hey, the guys, if they haven't stopped my run, if they're not stopping my running game, I'm not going to stop it. I'm going to continue, you know. Give the ball to the man that got me down here. You know what I mean? Give him a chance. If he doesn't do it, then you know, there's on the quarterback. It's trying to pass the ball to him, put an end zone or whatever. But USC just went up. Ball game.
Ball game. Johnny Boy, Johnny Ball Game, but that was a nice cover by Texas. Anything else by the caller for us, my friend? And great talking to you.
You kind of touched on last week, too. Tyler Bird needs to play defense. No end arounds or anything. He had a good block on maybe an outside run or a screen pass. Can't remember. But they need to move him to defense this week. He can get plenty of snaps against UMass.
Can you imagine how little he's played and he's expressed interest in playing in the secondary, as bad as our secondary is, them not using him?
Well, not only that, and how little he's been used on offense.
Right. It's foolish. It's crazy.
Crazy.
It makes no sense. And it's almost like this coach is just saying, screw you, people. I'm going to walk off the cliff. Screw you. I'll show you guys. I'll walk right off this cliff. Okay, Butch, go ahead and walk off the cliff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird.
But it's time for somebody else to step up, T. It's time for one of our other receivers to step up. You know, Dominic can't keep relying on Callaway. You know, he's looking at Callaway a lot right now, and teams are going to pick up on that. So we've got to find another receiver, a go-to receiver right now. Right now we don't have that other go-to receiver besides Callaway.
Yeah, a guy just said on Periscope to our caller, maybe if Butch Jones loses his job, Bird can slide over to defense.
Yeah.
You know? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. Yeah.
Hey, one last thing. They just kind of T-Rob talking right there. What about our tight end, Wolf?
Yeah.
I mean, the middle seems to be open, and then Pope had the – which I did like to play Pope on that catch.
Pretty.
Now, the middle seems to be open with this offense. Now, you'd think maybe they try and do that more. Would you see either of the tight ends becoming that next go-to person?
Jerry, what do you think? And thanks for the call. Jerry, what do you think?
Yeah. It goes hand-in-hand with the running game. You know, especially if you're hurting them on spread formation runs, and now you have a like this evening. That guy was a one-way player. Tony, he was a run stopper. So once you get that guy getting hurt with the run, now what we have going down the middle just goes hand-in-hand with it. So I think the more you see his backup in there, and we're just starting to turn things out from that one back set. The three wide receivers, one back. I think you'll start to see that happen a lot with some of these inside backers, where they don't know which thing is coming at them first. You know, the run or the pass. I do like a fullback out there, and still that's my preferred go-to step. But this year, with the emergence of Ethan Wolf, just him being an older guy, and now I feel like, you know, we got wide receivers at all three positions. That's a successful personnel grouping for us.
You know what's remarkable is that, and by the way, USC wins on a kick in overtime after their touchdown we were talking about before was overruled, a 43-yard kick in overtime to win the game 27-24. Classic football game as Texas falls to 1-2 on the year, but really played well, acquitted themselves well on the road. Texas will feel a little differently than Tennessee will after that effort out there, because they really played up. Tennessee kind of played down the Florida today. Jerry, you think we're going to have a really good offense this year as the year goes along? And Tony does as well. You guys both really like our offense. Kick that around for a second. Go ahead, Jerry first, then Tony.
I really do, Tony. You know, for me, I feel like we've got all the essential parts. You know, the offensive line is there. We've got a tight end, good quarterback most of the time. And we got wide receivers now. I think you're starting to see them develop. Now I think tonight they had some executional problems, but that's going to happen with, you know, first year guys out on the field. But really, you know, we can go about four deep. You know, we got two tight ends, our offensive line. If you guys notice, most of the time our quarterback has time to throw the football. So when you look at that,
just all those things, just as a culmination. I really like this offensive football potential that we have with the team, especially, you know, when you start looking at week 4, 5, and 6 at what they're going to do.
Yeah, and T-Rob, comment on that. Is as Jerry said, although the line has been suspect at times, and I think that at times they've been really good, and other times they've been, as I mentioned, a little bit suspect. Dormady, he's not, it doesn't seem in my memory like he's really been put on his back a bunch. It doesn't seem like he's, you know, been sacked a bunch this year, as even though the line has been, you know, not super consistent, if you will. I think Dormady has been okay and not gotten hit too much from the pocket.
He hadn't taken a lot of licks this year, but you know, when he's on his proper mechanics, he throws the ball real well. But when he's thrown off his back foot, then we got problems here. You know, I agree with Jerry. Offense is gonna be fine. You know, it's just we're still young. We're still young in the season, and you know, we're still trying to find our identity. But things are coming around. Things are coming around. And, as I said, that play action is going to help us a whole lot with that running game. So, you know, fans just be patient and give the offense a chance. I think Larry Scott's is doing a good job calling plays. It's just that, you know, when you call plays, you know, you got the head coach on the headphones also, and he's got the last say-so on a play or whatever. So I just hope the coach just let him call the plays, man. Let him call the plays, and he does it, and he coach.
We'll go back to the phones, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us tonight on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction, hello and welcome into our next caller. Hello and welcome in. Yeah, you're right there. That's you. Hello to our caller. I'm going to try this one more time. Hello to our caller. Welcome in. Okay. Goodbye to you. Hello to our next caller. Welcome in.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, man. Thanks for being up late with us here and giving us somebody to call into and rave a little bit.
Thank you, my man.
Before I get into my main point, I was wanting to ask your guys' opinion here. Do you feel like that Butch and the coaching staff puts the players in a position to win?
Gary, what do you think?
Man, I would say most of the time, yes. But to me, it's those situations where, you know, you get down inside the red zone and you have what you have. So 80% of the time, yes, to me, it's those special game situations where I feel like they're coming up short. Tonight on defense, I was really surprised at what I saw. It was a totally different game plan than what I was expecting. Up to this point, he's been super vanilla, and the energy level on defense has been pretty low. So if anything, you know, maybe they were hiding some of their best stuff, and maybe some of those guys were holding back in terms of just playing. I know Tony B, you were talking about that over the last couple of weeks. It just looks like guys weren't playing, but tonight I did see the effort. So just in terms of putting them in position to win, most of the time on offense, I would like to see us just better on, you know, special situations, third down, red zone. And then on defense, I'd like to see a lot more of what I saw tonight. But in the end, you can't give up the big play like they did tonight. You can't be in that coverage. You gotta be in something that makes sense for that situation.
Okay, that's kind of where I'm at on the offensive side of it, too. So on our last possession, if we could do a little bit of a scenario here, what would you have done, Jerry? Because we had the ball first and goal from the 9 with 1:06 to play in the game. They had 2 timeouts. And in my mind, if we run the ball twice, even if we don't score, we force them to use their timeouts. And then on third down, if we run again and we don't score, we can still run 40 more seconds off the clock with the play clock, kick a field goal. We probably give them the ball back with 10, maybe 15 seconds left, and a tie ball game.
Yep.
They have no timeouts. But instead, we basically call three timeouts for them by throwing three incompletions.
No question.
And let them save their timeout, and they was able to call one there at the end and get a heave one up and beat us. So,
can I ask you, caller, one question?
Sure.
Did they hit us with a deep pass at the end of the game? I forget what happened at the end.
Oh, yeah.
I've already selectively. Now, your point is so well taken because – it goes back to a lot of these little things. Jones does a lot of things well, as we know, and that's why I don't get on here and like rail against him like I did Dooley, because I think there's a lot of redeeming qualities to him. But, man, those end-of-the-game deals, which separate the good ones from the great ones, he's good. But he's never going to be great. He's just not. Am I wrong?
I agree with you, and I listen to your daily show a lot, and I agree with you a lot that the guy is a hard worker. I want to see him succeed, you know. I mean, he's a hard worker. He recruits hard. I feel like he represents us pretty well, although his press conferences and things are difficult to
right.
listen to. But,
right.
You know, I mean, he represents us well. I just don't think he can get it done on game days, unfortunately.
Oh, and it's a shame because today he had a team that, in Tony Robinson's estimation, is – 17 to 24 points better than their opponent. And granted, he didn't throw the interceptions, but his scheme doesn't help them succeed. And they really beat this team up today. And when you look at those numbers, and we were poring over the numbers earlier, the numbers are just incredible to think about how the Vols can't, managed to get out of there losing that football game when they had 442 total yards to Florida's 380. When they ran the football for average yards per play was 6.1. You don't lose on the road doing that. Your average yards per completion, 12.3. Tennessee today just, I don't know how to describe it. They were 6 of 16 on third down, which is not bad on the road. I mean, it's not bad. And they somehow managed to walk out of there losing that football game despite John Kelly's day that he had, which is just – it's sad, man. It's just absolutely sad.
And, Tony, I don't know – I don't think by any stretch of the imagination Tennessee manhandled Florida. I wouldn't say that. But I, in my lifetime, and I remember the national championship game in 98, I remember a select few games, but from my memory, when I really started watching on an every game basis, I'm 23 now, so let's just say 15-ish years of watching Tennessee football, I've never seen Tennessee be able to move the ball and push around the Florida defensive line consistently ever in my remembering. Like they did today, and to do all that, to run 15 more plays than them, to do it at Florida, and to still not be able to come out with the win, that's the most disappointing thing, because it's like, if not now, when are you ever going to be – I mean, we've said that for three or four straight years now, Tony.
But we should be on a five-game winning streak against them. I'm going to take you back to something, Tony Robinson, that you said earlier. Hey, T-Rob, this is a great point you brought up. It's a great point you brought up. In the fourth quarter today, Tennessee lost a game where they had 231 yards of offense in the fourth quarter. They had 96 rushing yards in the fourth quarter. They had 10 first downs in the fourth quarter. They ran 22 plays in the fourth quarter. They possessed the ball for 10 minutes in the fourth quarter. Guys, you would have to try to lose that football game.
Yeah, I mean, how can you, man? How can you? It's just, you know, Tony, you know, a lot of games, the games are won in the fourth quarter, okay? Regardless of what you've done in the first half and in the third quarter, fourth quarter, you know, hey, this is it. There's nothing left after the fourth quarter. We got to get a job done here and now. And I tell you, man, we were in that ball game. We should have won it. But for some odd reason, somewhere on the line, man, something, a lot of things went wrong. You know, we gave up a lot of scoring opportunities. We boxed a lot of those up. today.
To our caller, we had the ball 21 minutes in the second half to their 9.5. They turned the ball over three times today to our caller in the second half, and we still lost the damn game. Would you please explain that to me?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And just, you know, like he was saying, our offensive line, their experience, they was actually getting pushed. We was able to move the ball, and then we get down on the goal line, and just stubbornness, I don't know what it is. How do you not try to run the ball? I mean, how do you not try it, with, especially with what Kelly's doing? It's just unreal to me.
Thank you, my friend.
But, my last thing in closing here for me is what Bruce Pearl used to say was, you know, to his teams was, get me to the last 2 minutes of the game, you know, and I'll win it for you. I'll put you in a position to win. And I just don't feel like, you know, we've got that in our football program right now. And I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, man. You know, JC?
Yes, sir.
Now, your boy Alex is going to have a great number for you. Tony, listen up. You guys are going to love this. Here's your Alex stat of the night. This is a new feature here. Alex, go ahead.
All right, so last week your stat was the fact that Jonathan Kongbo had as many tackles with one as Ethan Wolf, our starting tight end, did. This week, Kyle Phillips and Dylan Bates, two highly recruited defensive players, Kyle Phillips playing a lot more minutes than Dylan Bates does, they both had one tackle, which is exactly the amount of tackles that 17th string quarterback Will McBride. Will McBride, to remind you, is a dual threat quarterback coming out of a high school. He had a tackle tonight.
Yes. Jerry,
I don't know how you explain Jerry, we're that, tied. But I'm looking at the stats, and I'm not.
Jerry,
I'm not
we're tied.
It up.
We're tied, Jerry. We're tied. We've got a T-Rob, we've got a tie situation. That poor Kyle Phillips guy. Oh, my gosh. Poor guy.
Oh. I tell you, hey, you know what? I'll tell you, man, this is I still can't, Tony, I just still can't believe it, man. I'm still trying to play this thing in my mind. How do we lose this game? How do we lose this game, man? This is, I'm still puzzled by this one, man.
When I read those numbers, those fourth quarter numbers, Jerry, how in the hell did we lose that game? I still can't get over it.
Jerry, you weren't on here earlier, but in the second, I don't know the exact fourth quarter numbers, but in the second half, Tennessee had possession of the ball 20 and a half minutes, and Florida in the entire second half only had the ball 9.5 minutes and had, I think, three drives, at least two, maybe three drives that were under a minute. One of them was 12 seconds. One of them was 30-something seconds. I know they had a minute and 11-second drive. All that combining. I mean,
how do we lose that game, Jerry?
How do you lose that game?
I think, Tony, I think special teams let us down. And also, too, I think it was the second missed field goal. That was where we should have had seven. Even though we missed the field goal and came up with zero, that was, I guess, up to three times. I thought we should have had seven there. The pick six. But again, you know, you're right. Ask the rhetorical question, because when you've got all the right elements and all the right elements of a football team that are in your favor, you shouldn't lose that game. It kind of played out the way I thought it would. I thought Florida, just with the whole hurricane and everything, and you know, their first game back in the stadium, I thought the first quarter and a half, they were kind of come out hyped up, but I thought their energy would wilt away after that. And I just thought eventually our offensive line, just being more consistent and more weapons on offense, eventually I thought it would overtake them. And it really still it doesn't make any sense. You know, the kickoff return by their guy just at the most weirdest moment after the penalty. So just crazy stuff, man, where you clearly outplay them. You have the better team, and hit this team that they, you know, they walk away with the win on the last freaking play of the game. I mean, hey,
Tony, they won the game today despite fumbling a ball going into the end zone. They still won the damn game, Tony. How many times have you seen a team win a game when they do something like that? It's impossible to win that game, Tony, for them.
Tony, it's like we said earlier, McElwain's a lucky son of a bitch. He's one of the luckiest son of a bitches we know, man.
He's luckier than a man with three weenies on top of four sharks.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we got it. The game is in our hands, and somehow or another, we find a way to let it slip right through our fingers.
Alex, who wins a game when they fumble a ball going into the end zone?
Oh, apparently Florida. But Tony Robinson, what you're forgetting is, as lucky as that is, it happens to us last year, Texas A&M. Same thing.
It happened to us again. Hey, it happened to us 2 years ago in Florida also, man. So, you know, it's just... I don't know what it is, man. It's just something, man. It's something about this Florida game in Florida that we just can't get over, man.
And Jerry, you think that's him on top of that shark?
Tony, I thought we had this game won when I saw when John Kelly, when he high stepped on their ass, I said, oh, we got these boys here. I said, we got this thing here. I mean, he looked so comfortable at that point in the game. I was like, there's no way we're not going to come out of here with a win. It's just like Tony Robinson said, man, it's just such a shame because he played his behind off, and he high stepped on him on their home field.
Yep.
And he shoved that one kid in the face.
I love
that. On
that
stiff
45-yard line, yep. And then Jerry, and then they don't go back to him when they get on the goal line. How do you not do that? The guy has special written all over him.
Tony punished the Gators on their home.
He punished them.
He put his face in the ground on their home field, on their sideline, Tony.
He mashed somebody's face into the ground. What did Fred say to Ann Astor?
How many tackles did he break, man? How many tackles did he have? How many tackles did he break, Hulk? I mean, this kid just